Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. In this time of transition, as both a nation and as a church, we must decide whether we cave to pressure from society or keep our feet firmly planted in truth. On the podcast this week, Pastor Nathan shares his vision for the future here at Worcester Nazarene. And remember, the best is yet to come.
On this day of gratitude, looking back, remembering, and fond farewells, I thought it'd be fitting and proper to look forward in faith with great expectation. Because how many of you would join me in saying God really is so, so good? Agreed out there? All right. So today, this isn't a message per se, it's a vision day. But I just want you to hear my pastor's heart talking. We have so many new people, and I just wanted you to know where we stand on some things. I don't want you to come in blind, and there's some things I just want to say from my pastor's heart today. Is that okay? So put this in the context of knowing me all the years you have, and what I speak from love. Love for you, and love for him. So please open your heart. Some will be informational, but I hope today it will be inspirational. I try to invest in you as much as I can. Some will be inventive, but it's not just going to be information coming at you. So God is so good, and I'm reminded of the scripture in Matthew 16:18. Jesus speaking, and I've been thinking about this. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. You see, when I read a scripture like that, I don't just think then, I think now. And I would say what he said to Peter, he's saying to us as his gathering of Jesus now, you are the rock. I'm going to continue to build my church on you. Peter is long gone. He was faithful in that after that Holy Spirit encounter. But listen, all the powers of hell can't conquer it. So good news, that's good news. Jesus said he would build his church, and you and I, we are, wherever you are online, we're included. We're now Peter. And the church is unsinkable. I don't mean any given local church, but how many of you know the body of Christ floats because hope floats? That should be a movie. The best is yet ahead, so let's anticipate. Since Dixie and I and our children arrived, moved here in 1995, and my hair wasn't blonde yet. This joyful journey has been like an entrepreneurial experience. So many good and God things just have happened so naturally for so long. And now it's time to become more strategic and intentional, if you will, all the while leaving room for the Holy Spirit. We must be certain that our focus is always, always, always on loving God, loving people, and living transformed. We're still the church, his church, and we're still moving forward, regardless of what the uncertainties may be ahead. Now, I didn't look at the screen. I meant to coming in. But do you remember the countdown that I shared with you? Was that I don't even know how long ago that was. And correct me, by my calculations, I had we're at day like 1,365 left. You can prompt me, Joel, if that's right. But listen, do you remember that? I pour that. I'm not a numbers guy, but I really felt in my heart that that's the direction we were moving. And when you get that number, just say it out loud, Joel. Yes?
I'll say it out loud.
Thank you. I want you to know that over these last many months, there have been many times that we've easily reached in at least 2,025 people on any given Sunday between in the building and online. We're ahead of schedule, actually. We believe there's more to come, and there's no end in sight. There is no end in sight as long as God gives us health and breath and life. So have you heard this before? Everything really rises and falls on relationships. This fact / truth will never change and focuses on our relationship with God and all the people created in his image. As daily followers of Jesus, we've been to the cross, we've said Y2J, yes to Jesus. Listen, we're never done doing this great command. I don't know if that's proper grammar, but it's in my spell check, so it's fine. Yeah. We're never done doing the great commandment. As long as we have life and breath, what's the song? If I'm not dead, then I'm not done. I like these passages in Matthew 27 and then John 15, verse 37. Jesus replied. When Jesus replies, he responds. He's not reacting. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. How about John 15, 12? This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Those are from the heart and the lips of Jesus, those words. So I want to just spend a little time talking about truth, because there's a lot of people that don't know if there's really truth nowadays. And I feel like I need to address it. I addressed it some on July 4th, if you'll remember. I'll come back to that. What we choose to believe, really matters now more than ever. Listen, we're not superior. I need to get rid of this. Uh-oh, I'm tangled. Yeah, thank you, Joel. Okay, 1,509, our countdown, 2025. Thank you, Joel. We're not superior to the generations who've gone before us. And just witnessing the passing of some dear loved ones like we did this week, I mean, they've left tracks, they've left footprints, and I want to tell you, we can still follow those all the way from here to heaven, can't we? Yeah. We don't know better. We aren't standing on some now informed, lofty, moral high ground. We must be grounded in the truth along with the hope that this is not all there is. Building our lives on the unshakable foundation of God's truth. We sang it as a patriotic song growing on. His truth is still marching on, and it still is. I got to tell you, not within our brand, but in recent months or the last couple of years, I met with a pastor reaching out to him, and I just was shocked by what he was saying. He said, "You don't believe in the Bible, do you?" I go, "Yeah. Do you?" I mean, it just cut my heart. Cut my heart. That really happened. Romans 1:18. It's like the newspaper on those verses, and then you can cross-reference it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But in verse 18 it says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." I remind you, and those of you that are doing Bible study, you know that even in his anger, how do you know God's redemptive? He's always working to bring about reconciliation and repentance. But listen what he's angry about. Listen, this is so culturally appropriate. His anger is there for wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And I want to tell you, we have some serious truth suppression going on these days. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware. We got to wake up. Listen, I can promise you from the bottom of my heart at Worcester NAS, we won't be caving to the craziness of this culture. We're on God's side, and our culture, we're on God's side, and our culture will seldom be applauding the stands we take. But that's okay, because we want to invade and help bring change in a positive direction. We'll never see this world change if we become just like it. Catering and compromising and caving. We must stop being so defensive all the time and start going forward. It's time for us to play offense. And that's not to be abusive. That's not to be unkind. Speaking the truth in love. The truth in love. We find these somber words in 1 John chapter 2. It's words to us today. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These cravings, I've added parenthetically, are not from the Father, but are from the world, this world. 17. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases the Father, God, will live forever. That's good news, isn't it? This is good news today. As I mentioned last week or so, nothing in this world is perfect. So let's stop saying that everything is. Yeah. because it's not. It's so shallow sounding when everything is perfect. We sometimes need to reserve that word for the one who truly is. Jesus is the only person to ever grace this world with perfection. How many of you know that's the truth? Utopian perfection will never happen because it's not humanly possible. There is no spiritual experience that has the power to make us perfect. We just surrender our sins and ourselves to His perfect love that He wants to pour in and through us. I've been saying this, and I want to illustrate. I should have had a basketball up here today. But in this season, we need to plant our pivot foot in truth and hope. And with the other foot, we navigate the realities of life because we are firmly planted in this day and time. But we can never drag our pivot foot because that's our firm foundation. I want to illustrate it again. Played basketball when I was doing camps. Put a nail through your foot. You can turn in every direction, but you can't drag it. Life isn't the NBA, and you can't get away with it. There's consequences here. Where is your pivot foot planted? It's got to be planted in truth and in hope. And when that's true, we can deal with all the stuff that comes our way, the good, bad, and ugly, whatever it may be, as long as we're anchored. Yeah. Anchored in the truth. Anchored in hope. I love what I heard a former coach tell me. She said to her girls, and I've seen this so much when I've gone to ball games and watched kids, she said, "Don't panic, pivot. Pivot, don't panic." You know, I mean, we get all excited, the enemy attacks, we're all over the place. No, we know where we are. Our foot is planted in truth and hope, and we can navigate the schemes of the enemy with the power of God because we are firmly rooted in truth and hope. We don't have to cave. We don't have to compromise. The scriptures that I was thought of when I wrote that was John 8. First of all, Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, and I've got news for you. That's not easy believism. That's not cheap grace. I mean, that's unshakable, pivot foot planted truth and hope. He said, for people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples, my followers, whatever you want to say, if you remain faithful to my teachings. The pivot foot can't be dragged. We've got to keep it grounded in His teachings. And you, as you do that, as you plant that pivot foot, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Even in a culture where bondage is everywhere, God's truth sets you free. Romans 12:12, we rejoice in our confident hope. We rejoice in our confident hope. We can be patient in trouble, and we can keep on praying. Why? Because we've got our foot planted in truth and hope. Listen, listen. There is a massive worldwide attempt, nothing new, to turn everything biblical and Christian on its head, to reverse it all. Listen, I don't care, from creation to end times, every hot topic of our culture today is merely an attempt to revise what God's Word says and create and promote a godless culture. And I tell you, you remember Connect the Dots when we were kids? You know, if you got those pictures, you just numbered dots all over. What happens when you connected the dots in order? What did you end up with? A picture. And some of us are bouncing from dot to dot without thinking about it. And I'm going to tell you, we don't realize that there's a picture that's being created by the dots that we connect. It's an all-out attack against Almighty God. I said it's an all-out attack because we don't want the world to end the way God says it's going to end in the book. So we revise our own way that it's going, and we can stop it from ending the way He said it's going to end. We can't stop the force of Almighty God. We cannot. If we're not careful, we'll end up getting sucked in and start believing things just to go with the cultural flow or to simply justify the ways we choose to live, the things we choose to believe. Beware of godless, revisionists, biblically, historical, culturally. They have humanistic agendas. It's man first, man first. So I ask you again, from this pastor's loving heart, who is influencing you and yours? Who are you following? Who are you watching and or listening to? Do you know about their character and integrity? Are they grounded in truth with God's word deeply embedded in their hearts? Do they have a worldview that's through the lens of God's word? I want to get a little controversial here. And I want to give you an example. Some of you have been asking for example, and here's one. A hot topic, human sexuality. Listen, culture may have opinions, and the law may or say one thing or another, but God's word stands. God never intended for sexuality to be our point of identity. I don't come and greet you and say, "Hi, I'm Nathan, I'm a heterosexual." I never do that. But I might go, "Hi, my name's Nathan, I'm a child of God." And that decision and declaration informs everything else in my life. When I deal with people that are broken and hurting and caving, you know, they're teetering. I don't try to talk them out of that. I try to talk them into saying yes to Jesus. I am a child of God. Because that informs everything in their lives. And he becomes transformational in our lives. Listen. This identity, I am a child of God, informs and transforms everything else in our lives. God invented human sexuality as part of his very, very good declaration when he created mankind. It wasn't our idea, it was his. Here it is, his standard of truth. Pastor, why don't you preach against this and why don't you talk about this? I want to tell you, I want to be for things. And I want to tell you what, I want to be for God's standard of sexual purity in 2021 and beyond. I'm for it because God's for us. And you want to know where I stand and where we stand? I want to tell you clearly. Without apology, we teach in love. All sexual engagement is to be between one man and one woman in a married relationship. That's what we believe. Make no mistake today. All other ground is sinking sand. And we'll never have God's favor and blessing because God wants the best for us and his standard of purity will never change like ever shifting shadows. God is for us. He's for our sexuality. Opinions of man rise and fall and come and go, but God's truth never changes with ever shifting cultural shadows. Truth stands. We plant our foot in truth and hope. 2 Timothy 3:5, I alluded to it, says they, people, will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that because it'll cause you to drift and it will drag you down. That's not who we hang out with. That's not who we draw our clues about culture from. On July 4th, I strongly challenge you to be convicted and to have convictions from God and to God. You remember that? If we have the heart convictions that God's word is truth, our lives must align with that truth that we declare. God's enduring truth is not up for debate. Even though we've been given free will, our opinions won't change truth and won't stand in the end when we stand before God. Our opinions will not matter, but our alignment with God's truth will. Matthew 24:12 speaks, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, please. Oh, I plead with you. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. Man is not in charge of this world and never will be. The human heart will never change, never be changed by human strategies and activism. Could I say that again? The human heart will never be changed by human strategies and activism, but only by the liberating power of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit power living in us, pouring his perfect love in us and through us. That's the difference maker. We believe, I want you to know, very clearly that we believe that everyone must go to the cross and say Y2J, yes to Jesus. We must all choose to give Jesus our sins. We don't have to, but that's the only way to join his family. We can use our free will to stiff arm him. At that moment, his presence and his spirit begins to live in us and through us. This is not all there is. By saying yes to the Holy Spirit, Y2HS, surrendering our lives completely to Him, it, in that moment by moment, it means this: your kingdom come, your will be done, right out of Matthew 6:10. In my life, through my life. And then we live this way. A fully surrendered life to me looks like John 12:28. How many times have I shared it? Father, bring glory to your name. In this relationship and the things I go to, Father, bring glory to your name. I want you to be magnified. I want to live it daily, moment by moment. The word. I say it carefully again. We don't need to get the word into us as much as we need to get get into the word as much as we need to get the living word into us. I want to say that again for clarity. We don't need to get into the word as much as we need to get the living word into us, because it's transformational. We've got to do it more collectively in its entirety than just the selective passages that we like to quote. We fit our lives to the word of God. His eternal word must be the lamp and light. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden God's word in your heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Any agreement out there? Aren't you glad for God's word? Oh my. You know, sometimes I think we just need to have a gut check, and we need to go, how does my screen time compare to my God time? I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about in our free time. How does my screen time, what's the proportion? Is it 50-50, 40-60, 80-20? I don't know. Just asking. God's searching my heart. I'm just hitting some topics here. Worship. We're going to talk about worship that's pleasing to God in week two of our next series, What Does Jesus Change? And Nate's going to bring that message, I believe. But there is such power when we gather to do it. Worship is foundational for Worcester NAS. We become worshipers the moment we say Y2J. Listen, you may really like worship music and it may make you feel good, but you really can't worship a God you don't know. You really can't. I mean, you can have some emotional twinges, but I want to tell you, He wants to rearrange all that. I think Grandma Dixie was talking. Hello, dear. She's on the front row here. She was talking to some of our grands, and she asked him, what are some ways that God speak to us? And little Strong, Nate's oldest and Kayla's oldest, piped up, and he said, oh, through worship. Well, Strong had it right. He's exactly right. So much happens when we gather in this way. That's powerful. I'm so thankful. Listen, I'm so thankful for fiber optics that delivers the possibility of making live streams and taking it to those who are watching today. Our worship service and our nights of worship, some memorials, things that I'm so thankful. It's a blessing, especially for those who are not able to gather in person for worship, most of whom long to be present together. Yeah. They say, Pastor, you don't know what it's like. I love it. I'm so thankful to be able to watch. But oh, how I would love to be there. I need to give and receive hugs. But could I just caution you? Here's my pastor's heart again. I can't help but wonder how many of us at home and other places really laser focus or zone in on worship without interruptions and really experience God's presence there. I'm just asking. Or are you kind of doing breakfast or doing whatever and drive by just, yeah. I wonder. I'm really concerned about this. I really am. Because I think it's really easy to miss the presence unless we treat it. I don't know, it's kind of a silly comparison, but it's like if you ever go to a movie, you know, if you're watching something at home, you turn out the lights, I mean, you totally focus in and you're all there. Does that make sense to you? And really lock in. Let's not get careless here. Let's not get careless. Easier does not necessarily mean better. It never has, never will. Nothing will exceed the power of presence, God's and ours. It's unbeatable. Combination. Altars. I love our altars. Custom made in Amish country. We use them on a regular basis, more to come. We need to wear them out. I'd love to have them refinished some days because tears have just washed off the varnish or whatever it's called. I love the elevation song, and I won't take time to come to the altar, but just pulling out a few phrases. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. For the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh my, taking care of business, the quicker we respond to Holy Spirit heart tugs and prompts, the better off we'll be. What a convenient place to take care of spiritual business when God favors us with his presence when we gather. I absolutely love our altars because of what has happened and what is and will happen there. Prayer. We need a growing culture of prayer, though we have many who are praying. That is deeply embedded in everything we do. It must be a normal part of all. We pray. We'll continue our first Monday of the month evening call to prayer and really have a desire to make it in such a way that many will come and participate together. In fact, we have one tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're going to go for an hour and 15 minutes, I believe, about that realm. And we want you to come. We're going to focus on our schools and our students and our teachers and staff. We're blessed for so many. We want you to come, and we just want to cry out to God on behalf of all those. Pray Now that Joel mentioned is another initiative we're launching, and people will be identified with those badges that say Pray Now. They'll be scattered throughout the building when we gather. In-person prayer will always be available, not only at our altars. We want to see people praying together as a common practice. When I was growing up, they used to say something like, a family that prays together and plays together stays together. Did you ever hear that? I think I just made it up, maybe, I'm not sure. Do it now. Our grow track is what we're calling all things discipleship. Everything that we do as far as teaching. Pastor Andrew has been charged in his new responsibilities with building a strategy team to give direction to all things discipleship and instructional. We are evaluating, organizing, and planning so next steps can easily be known and taken, because we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word, constantly challenged and growing, pouring out to others what we have received until we draw our first breath in heaven. NAS groups. We desperately need to be connected. Isolation must go. We need relationships. Our strategy team is working hard to strengthen and expand these groups, and we need each other, and we are so much better together, and we always need leaders and trainings available. We're just having all kinds of stuff coming at you about that. You are needed. Outlinks. When we refer to outlinks, we could call that FP, Faith Promise Outlinks, but it's all things mission. And once again, Andrew's going to be at the point of organization, but this represents all Worcester NAS engages at mission-wise, local and global, and we do so many things. But that new developing strategy team will be organizing and guiding these ventures throughout the year, and we're excited about that. Serve teams. Jesse Weaver's at that point, I believe, and everyone who calls Worcester NAS their home needs to find their serve. Sign up on our website now. Stop at the info center and inquire about it. There are so many opportunities and needs out there, and I'll hit that towards the end just a little bit more. All right, I really want to open my heart up about something else here, and that's youth. I love teenagers. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and I absolutely loved it. God allowed me to lead three wonderfully distinct youth groups, one in Cincinnati and one in Indianapolis and one in Coshocton. What a blessing it was. But I want to talk to that. And I want to talk to teens that are in the room. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to you. But I'll be repeating this at some form, second service. You'll seldom hear me say as pastor that Worcester NAS is the best at anything. I don't like that. However, I will often say there should be none better. There should be no more friendly, loving, caring gatherer of Jesus than Worcester NAS. Any agreement out there? That's a choice. It doesn't cost us a thing. That must be maintained. Teenagers, look at me. Wherever you are around this room, and I've greeted most of you, there should be no better youth group in the city, county, or state than right here at Worcester NAS. I'm not speaking of numbers alone. I'm talking teens who love to hang out together, and I think we might have some pictures there if they haven't scrolled yet, have they? I want some pictures up there. I'm talking about teens who love to hang out together and care for one another. We must be a top-shelf choice, the talk of the town. Dixie and I witnessed that on Friday night. Man, what a buzz it creates. What a buzz. There'll be some pictures scrolling as I continue. Worcester NAS Thrive, that's our gatherings. That they'll be having second service and other times as well. To you, my teenage friends, middle school and high school is right now a reflection of you and your influence. Did you hear me? Get better and make it better by using your gifts, by using your influence to create a positive, inviting, accepting culture. I want to tell you, that still works. It doesn't matter when we have what, if we have it and that's there, they will come. They will come. Quality youth groups are about having healthy friendships and relationships. Invite and bring your friends. Lead them. We must take our inviting culture to a new level. Are you inviting your friends? Do you have influence? You do have it. Use it for God's glory. I have been telling many teens for many years, every person is just one friend away from our church, and better yet, one friend away from Jesus. It's still true. Here's the question. Will you be that friend link? Will you? Wherever you may be, if you're here and this is your church, I'm talking to you. By the way, I love to meddle. I strongly believe that families need to be united in worship together. My best advice, don't go here and there. There may be rare exceptions, but this is generally true. I seldom see a good outcome of family division when it comes to worship. We still need to put forth the effort to get up and go worship together. Consistency is huge over time. So I've been thinking, this is a transition point. It's to my teenage friends, but it's to all of us. I want you to know that I'm a greater fan, much greater fan of Michael and Kobe and Magic and Larry than I am some of the transient stars who have been in the limelight in recent years and in our days. And I'm not going to give names or any initials. You can figure it out. It's hard to keep track of what team they're playing for presently because every year it's like musical chairs or upset the fruit basket. But we know this, Michael was a Chicago Bull and Magic and Kobe were LA Lakers and Larry was a Boston Celtic. They stayed with their teams for years, bringing other players to surround them. They had huge influence on their teams as they stayed and made their teams better. They became winners. Y'all come, is what they said. Not like I'm going to go wherever the grass is greener. Oh, by the way, in the light of the Olympics, I was thinking about on our team now where there's talent galore, but there's just so much fragmentation. I looked it up online. You remember the 1991 Dream Team, Olympic Dream Team? You remember that? Does anybody remember that, 1991 Dream Team? I looked. The first 10 players on that team that won gold had long and loyal tenures with a single team. Loyalty has always been huge, and it's needed now more than ever. Enough said. If this isn't the place, then find the place and be all in and all out. I just want you to know what you're getting into. That's why I felt I should share my heart today. Inviting culture. I mentioned it with youth, but if you believe in who we are and what we're called to do, constantly be extending invitations and bringing those you know and love along with you. They'll come. They'll come if you connect with them relationally. They need to be connected to some of the best people on the planet. It's happening like never before at Worcester Naz. If you're looking for a perfect place and perfect people, Worcester Naz is not it. Move on. Come in this house. Pastor, you say the funniest things. No, I got it from Andy Griffith. Come in this house. God has given us our homes. I don't like house. I like homes. God has given us homes, and we must use them for His glory. They are not strongholds where we isolate, hide out, and hunker down. We need to share the universal calling of hospitality. I love the example. Nate and Kayla live in a very small, modest home, very, very, very small home. And they felt they've invited, but they wanted to do it. And I think they started having what they called waffles with the wards. And I asked Kayla this morning, she said, they're somewhere right now around 250 people that they've had in their home. They could say, well, we'll do that when we get a bigger home. But they're doing it now where they are. As inconvenient as that might be, because it's not about the place, it's about the people. It might be about the food too, but don't say that. Come in this house. I'm starting a front porch initiative, you know, because I believe presence has a huge impact. I don't know how much time I've spent out there this week and how many connections I've had. Some of you have been on my porch this week. It has a huge impact. Presence does where you live and can be seen. Be a presence, a force where you are. Allow God to use your influence right now where He has planted you. If you don't do it now, you won't do it later. Come to the table. I can still hear my mother saying, come to the table. Sometimes she said it sweetly, but the more times she said it, the more firm she got. This must be an emphasis in our homes with our families. Gather regularly around the table. Let's determine to meet and eat together more often. Let's start with our families, and then so let's start expanding that circle to include others. This must be our emphasis as a growing church family as well. Newer people must be included and given on-ramps, and I can't think of a better way to do it than around the family table. Can you? I've told some of you that I never realized my mother died at 55, and even then, as an adult I was in my early 20s, I never realized and appreciated how much my mother fought for family times together around our kitchen and dining room tables, but she did. She would not be divorced, she would not be distracted by it, and I can still hear that come to the table. She fought for the family table like a mama bear. And I've got to tell you again, when I had our family table up here months ago, I think I told you this, but it bears repeating. So many and most of my favorite and memorable moments from my lifetime are when time seemed to stand still around the family table with family and or friends, missionaries, whoever they were. And I got to tell you, that's way up there on my list, right under precious times of worship where we've gathered. Acts 2:42 says it clearly. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Oh, do you think the New Testament Acts model might still work? Yeah, because it's just saying relationships still matter. It's not about our music, the way we sing it. People come loving it and don't stay because they don't connect with the relationship. There's people that come that hate the way we do a lot of things, but if they get connected with relationship, how many of you know they'll stay? They'll stay and they'll begin to grow. Round in the corner here. I want you to know this. Are you seeing my heart today? Are you hearing my heart? I want you to know this. In my remaining years of full-time pastor leading in this house, I'm determined to go palms up, all out, bottoms up, pour out any wisdom and experience I've accumulated through the last 42 years of continuous pastoring and serving. I'm still growing and I'm still getting better, and that's not a point of bragging. I want to and I really need to. My March 7, 2021 heart event that happened right here was a major reality check and a classic wake-up call for me. It has compelled me to a greater urgency for passing the baton well. I never want it to be thought, said, or remembered that Pastor Nathan had a mild or severe case of the Hezekiah syndrome. At least things will go well at Worcester Nazareth as long as I'm the pastor. No. So I'm not going to be putting it into neutral, and I don't plan on coasting, just so you know. I may be nearly 66, but I'm in overdrive as we speak. We desire to continue the direction that we're headed, loving God, loving people, living transformed. We know who we are and what God is calling us to do. We believe future pastors and staffing will primarily be raised up from within, individuals who know and love Jesus and who know and love Worcester Naz, a people, not a place. I just stuck in the word transition these days. We're moving into a team approach and are expanding our team with part-time and very part-time staffing. This God-inspired plan, we believe, is well underway and working effectively and efficiently, and there's more to come. You can see this in your staff directory that you were handed today, and you can take that and put that up on your fridge or wherever and pray for those people. But we're going after sharp people and bringing them on board. The best and the busiest are the most productive. Even with fewer hours available to serve, they'll make those count. I recently read, if I know where, I would give them credit, but I don't. It's something like this. They said, you can only stay on the beach for so long. Some of you want to argue with me about that, don't you? Listen, I love to visit Florida for a couple weeks when we're in the grips of a typical Ohio winter. I mean, it feels so good to be heading out 30 and down 71, but I have no desire to stay there indefinitely. Are you still tracking with me? I'm almost done. You okay in the grandstand? Give me a wave. My heart is constantly drawn towards home because home is where my heart is, and my home is Worcester, Ohio. I absolutely have a passion for living, loving, and serving here. I am all here. Are you? I've been other places, but I'm all here now. And I want to live for God's glory. Some of you, many of you, maybe you're at home today. You've been sitting too long. There's room for you. I told you I'd get to this. We all need to, that have been here, scoot over and make room and include. Many of you are not needy, but you are needed more than ever, and that's where significance and joy is. If you're at Worcester Naz, be all here and begin thinking and saying, my church, we know it's God's. This means I'm all here. All the time, I'm all in, and I'll go all out. I know my church is a reflection of me and my influence. I think I heard Rick Warren say it very well, first and best. He said, we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve, and it's still true. Serving God and others is where significance and joy are found. Life-giving to be needed. It's time, triple exclamation point. Not time to check out, it's time to check in. If you're around retirement age, you just downshift and go forward to even greater heights. You don't have to do what you did before someplace else. You just need to be doing what God wants you to do right now with the time that you have available. Will you step up and determine to keep on getting better? You're not too busy if it's truly a priority. We do what we want to do, and we go where we want to go. In so doing, you'll help this Worcester Naz gathering of Jesus to keep on getting better. I'm all about that, are you? Because we were reflecting him. We must keep growing and going where the people are until Jesus comes in again, using our spiritual gifts, our heart passion, our specific abilities, our unique personality, and our life experiences. I'll give credit to Rick Warren for that, to be difference makers. God's church, the church. I got to tell you, I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. I found a clip from Greg Rochelle that I just want to play you as we wrap it up, just a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to close with a song. Would you give your attention? He just makes a biblical comparison to Christ and the bride, his bride, the church. There he is.
We know this, that whenever you read God's word, all things point to Christ. Jesus is the main character of the Gospels. He's the main character of the epistles. He's the main character of the Old Testament. All things point to Christ. What do we know the church is? The church is the bride of Christ. What if Proverbs 31 isn't just a chapter to make women feel guilty? Because you're not all that. What if chapter 31 is a picture of the husband, Jesus, and his bride, the church? I'm gonna read you some verses out of the TPT translation, the Passion Translation, which is admittedly more of a devotional, some people say it's not literal, but it's completely beautiful. And what I'm gonna do is every time it talks about the bride or the woman, I'm going to put in the word church. And every time it talks about the husband, I'm gonna replace it with Jesus and see if that were the case, what would it say to us? I'll give you an example. Proverbs 31, verse 10, this is how it reads. Who could ever find a wife like this one? She's a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Now I'm going to substitute Christ and the church, and it would go like this. Who could ever find, not a wife, but who could ever find a church like this one? Christ's church is full of strength and mighty valor. The church is full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for the church was greater than many jewels. You see what we're doing here? Let's read on. The church searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. The church gives out revelation truth to feed others. Oh, this is powerful. Verse 18, the church tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished no matter how dark the night. She, the church, is known for her extravagant generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out her hand to those in need. Watch this. Her husband, Jesus, is famous and admired by all, even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. I'm gonna edit this next verse a bit. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended above them all. Popularity can be misleading, and followers and wealth and worldly clout is vain and so quickly fades. But the church, the bride of Christ, lives in wonder, awe, and the fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. The church, 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 the church. People are searching, and the church offers hope, healing, and the belonging that they need. The church. I'm optimistic. God used the church to change my life. Jesus said, I'll build the church. We're getting stronger in the middle of this opposition. People need the church. If I could be real transparent
amen.
With you,
and everybody said,
season,
and everybody said, yes and amen. Father, thank you for your word today that's gone forth, the scriptures. Apply it to our hearts. May we be receptive. We want to sing to you as we conclude this service today. We love you. We bless your name. Thank you for this gathering of the church. However we're gathered today, may your blessing and grace be upon them as we invade our culture in truth and in hope. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,